genius.
April 23, 2013 is the Watt Pedro Show.
Thank you.
for Pedro Show. Here I am at the Love Grotto once again with Brother Matt.
Welcome back, man.
Very long time, Brother Matt.
Welcome back to the homeland.
When was...
It's like 2 fucking months.
Was it? Yeah. I mean, being out of town, I did 2 tours. Then when I came back, Brother Matt had a hurt back.
Yeah, I was crawling. I was in a Quasimodo stage.
Right.
I got to the Neanderthal stage, and now...
How would you compare this with... Because he was a crippler right on the deck. Remember you had them stones?
Damn.
Because that had you on the deck too, right?
Both crippling. Yeah. The stones were like one crippling night.
Yeah.
That kind of lingered.
Yeah.
For a few months, but this was like a couple of weeks of solid crawl.
Wow, so different that way.
Yeah.
I know stones laid low. My organ man, second man, Pete's so amazing.
Holy fuck.
He was crippled.
Man.
This is a longshoreman. But you know who just had him and had to miss a gig with me and Perk? Brother Wayne Kramer.
Oh, man. Was that in the underground 13?
He thought he was going to make it.
The place
it was going to be in that name now. But
yeah, like Social Club.
You know what? That Tally said she saw those Canadians. She was telling us about those.
Oh, the Red Tribe.
People.
Yeah, they played 420, I think, someplace.
There!
Oh, fuck.
Because she went... to it was record store day, so they went and saw me at Fingerprints and then went up there.
Oh man, I forgot where they were.
Brother Matt, so anyway, it's really great that you ain't in pain, that you're not on the deck, that
Thank you.
I get to do the show again with you. It's been a long time.
Respect.
Now we start off the show with John Coltrane doing Night Has a Thousand Eyes, and we heard Practice by Sawako, and then a tune by our guest. Son, welcome aboard.
Thank you
welcome
so much.
To the tune called First Lady. Yeah, welcome to the Love Grotto here on the Project Point.
Right.
We also got another guest.
Yeah, I got.
I was totally surprised on.
Yeah, we totally surprised.
Brother Adam Baum.
Yeah,
Adam Baum. Brother,
sorry to bum rush.
It ain't no bum rush. It's
no, totally got worthy of total guest status. And I'm having him be my spin cycle meister today.
Yeah, I believe that. This is the first time in our... Next month will be 12 years we've been doing the show.
Wow,
so this
crazy.
This is going to be a first.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm truly honored to be here.
Yeah, from the kids, we did, I was saying, me and Adam Baum hung every day for like 5 years probably, like numerous times.
We're talking the early 80s.
Eating burritos every day, going on adventures, having crazy times, and I haven't really seen him for 25 years.
25 years.
Maybe twice in 25. The time in traffic downtown and some band called Slow Rider.
That's right.
There.
That city's too big, Brother Matt. City's too big. You got to shrink it down.
Los Feliz de Pedro. Today.
Like McLuhan's there, McClan's there. Global Village.
So you were hip to the burrito day.
He was one of the OGs.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the first tasters.
He called in live on here from Zamora Brothers.
Yeah.
Zamora Brothers, yeah. Sunset Boulevard.
So, so welcome aboard.
Thank you.
The second hour, we'll hear your rendition on Brother Matt's spin cyclage shiftage.
Thank
Blue
you.
Shift.
Yeah, and you have to come back.
What
again
was the name of your
one?
Show?
The Final Countdown.
Final Countdown.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you have to come back for a whole episode.
Yeah,
know.
We'll get him into more. He's also a musician, man. He's
Rolaria still doing it.
Yeah, that's where we were in Chile.
Yeah, he's Amoeba, so plenty to say. So just the foot in the door today.
With the fucking...
With the gimmick.
Santos.
You know me. You know, always some gimmick.
Okay, let's get back to our first host, Hiroshi-san. Music man, but also a painter, drawer man. Artist man, Renaissance man. But let's first, well, tell me something about, we're going to play a tune here called Mitsuko. Tell me about this tune. When we come back, I'll get into your whole journey through music. But tell me something about this song, Mitsuko.
Well, it's a garage band piece, and...
Garage band meaning not out of a garage, but out of software.
Just on the Mac, yeah. It's software called GarageBand.
If you buy a Mac, there's free software on it, so you can start making music right away.
Bingo, yeah. So I was in China and Japan about 5 years ago, busted my Mac, came back, got a new one. It had GarageBand on it, and I got so deeply into it. I don't know what to say about Mitsuko. I like the name. And it seemed to match the groove, And otherwise, it was just kind of a right brain intuitive thing that I just threw together.
Correct person, so don't take this offensively. I don't mean it towards any of my friends. I mean it towards random people that I don't even know in the library. So, you guys are not the problem. The problem is these hordes of Asian people that UCLA accepts into our school every single year, which is fine. But if you're going to come to UCLA, then...
Buy their groceries and cook their food for the week. So, how's your kids? How's your wife? Because I remember we're going to leave something out.
basically without fail. You will always see old Asian people running around this apartment complex every weekend. That's what they do. They don't teach their kids to fend for themselves. You know, they don't also teach them is their manners. Which brings me to my next point. In America, we do not talk on our cell phones in the library. Every 5 minutes, I will be, okay, not 5 minutes, say like 15 minutes. I'll be like deep into my studying, into my political science theories and arguments and all that stuff, getting it all down, like typing away furiously, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, when I'm about to like reach an epiphany, over here from somewhere, oh, Jing Chong Lu Long Ting
Tong. So sorry.
Shoot to the boy.
what, for Pedro show, we started off with Matsuko by Hiroshi, like we were saying. Then we heard some new stuff. We heard, do you guys remember this lady at UCLA who made a YouTube video about getting bothered in the library?
Oh, yeah.
Some people made a tune out of this. Okay, it's called Asians in the Library by Louis Laguerre. Xin Chong Ling Long Ting Tai.
So
I think
dumb.
She had to quit school and
oh,
shit.
Oh, she got threats.
Well, her dad was doing some bikini line. It was to drum up some hype, I heard. But it kind of blown
too much
back.
Hype.
Did the
blowback. Yeah.
Then we heard something new from Demon Queen. Rude Boy featuring Nate No Face. And then something new from Tobacco, Lipstick Destroyer. Tobacco's with Diamond Queen. And then Hey Rockin' by Black Bananas. They were on the other side of the split seven. Hey, we had I should have brought you one, but I meant they made a 7-inch of some Black Gang. I'll bring it next week.
Oh, bitchin'.
Because Record Store Day, everybody.
Yeah, that was a...
Did I talk about that? Yeah. I had to do Man Alone show last week.
Oh, yeah?
Very awkward. I had no guess. I had no way to do it. Man Alone and everything. Stumble bum and shit. Terrible. Well, a lot of music. There wasn't a lot of spiel. I hope I made you aware. I hope you got to go to the record store and your... parts people and support
that
thing.
Support your record stores.
And it's not just the material item, physical manifestation, it's the culture of like coming in there and you see another music people and they could hip you on to other bands and you might be able to hip them.
Candy stores for music.
We're kind of missing that. I know people talk on the internet, but there was something about just bumping into people in record stores, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Getting turned on to a new fanzine.
That's
how
she.
Yeah,
what
I'm totally.
About this record store culture, have we lost it by losing the store?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. So April 20th. I think it's not always April 20th.
Fingerprints, Adam Bomb works at one of the cool ones. Amoeba, those are a couple of the coolest record stores that you can find in California.
A lot of folks, turned out on Saturday.
Who played at yours?
Well, it was more DJ sets.
Ah,
Lance Rock from Yo Gabba Gabba did a DJ set. Jeff McDonald, Red Cross.
Yeah, bass man. Singer man, Steve. And he's an off.
Jeff did DJ set.
But Steve's an off and he's a bass man.
And Lucinda Williams.
Oh, wow.
Did just talking to fans, answering questions. Really cool woman. Like, took time out.
Dad hung out with her.
Yeah.
Was she in the desert still in the trailer?
I believe so.
Okay. Wow, we, some kid played with Paul McCartney went on before us in Long Beach. He just played acoustic. He was pretty bad. I guess he was in Wings.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who's in the Wings. You know who's in the Wings? Jim O'Rourke.
Really?
Loves him.
Wow.
Is he good bass lines in Wings?
He's in Tokyo.
Huh? Good bass lines in Wings.
Good lines. I don't think McCartney was doing bass, though.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was Denny Lane or somebody. Yeah, I think he was,
Linda sure was a singer backup.
There's some tapes of that? Where like they solo
on Hey Jude, it's gruesome, yeah.
It's kind of rough. We heard Dig a Hole by GFR. Hershey said, how did you first get into music?
Oh, playing music? Listening to music?
No, just hearing.
Grew up on the Beatles, then sort of punk hit me pretty hard, late 70s, early 80s. Then just got increasingly obsessed with different kinds of music. Gong, David Allen, thing. That got me really into a bunch of jazz stuff, Coltrane, Ornette, and then just sort of everything from there.
When did you, first you were a listener, right?
Right, of course, yeah.
When did you get into making?
I was fantasizing about playing in front of tons of people from the time, like, shortly after I started listening.
Yeah.
So, and then this guitar was natural. I'd already been playing air guitar for years. So that just flowed pretty well.
Over.
I switched over,
Is your homeland? Is that
no, I'm from New York. So, yeah. So I play both now.
You were in the city at that time?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
And,
did anybody in your family play?
Not really. I mean, dilettantes everywhere, but Man Alone.
Did you make a band right away?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it lasted for a few minutes, yeah. So, and that was, it had like a gig. You know?
Did you, I ask this because this is something I went through. Did you write songs right away?
Just while recording. I didn't necessarily write, like lyrics and chord structures. And, you know, I just got really into laying down tracks, and so that was like the way I composed. So
but still, you were composing because right. when I first started, all I did was copy records. That's what everybody did in Pedro here.
Right.
No one wrote their own songs.
Okay.
So I always ask people this. Did you start writing songs right? Because this is one thing that really endeared me to the punk movement was these cats started writing songs right away.
Mm.
And for some reason in our, whatever, in special circumstances, we were too knuckleheads to try it. You know, no one thought of music as an expression. It was more like building models.
So you're just doing like Who covers and whatever. What were you?
Well, when I met T. Boone, the only rock and roll band he knew of was Creedence.
Okay.
He had those first six records, and I knew Creedence because they were on the radio a lot. But his mother said, "You're going to be in a band with him. You're going to play the bass." And, you know, I didn't know what the bass was, and what was even really hard. I mean, I could hear it with Jamerson or Larry Graham or even guys from the England rock bands like
Whistle,
yeah, right. Geezer Butler, the Scott guy, Jack Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't hear the bass. And it's one reason why, the reason why I started wearing flannels. I thought if I wore the singer shirts, T-Boone would still like me. I could not hear the bass. I could not tell what was going on. And the whole thing was about trying to copy things, not to play in front of people, just doing your bedroom, you know, like building models. So right away, you started.
As soon as I had a four-track, I was, you know, you just got way into that, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
I mean, they're not much for compositions. They're more. It's more like a Tascam demo or something, you know, just have bouncing tracks.
Yeah, but you're still, you're trying to.
Doing
like
something
I said,
new.
Use music as a form of expression.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, hey, kind of sounds like it. No, not really. It was so hard. It was so hard. I mean, even learning off the record, you'd have to keep going back. And Boone's record player, I mean, we had to put like quarters on this thing. So you got this big old balancing act, trying to get it back there. Hear that lick like that? No, hear it like that? It was really hard. It was, yeah.
And then how?
But we shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have. That's what we saw at the first punk gigs. Like, why were we wasting all this time doing this? These cats don't care. They just started writing songs. A band like, for example, Urinals. These guys didn't even know what they were going to play. They, like, drew straws. You know? Oh, you're going to be the drummer. You're going to be the guitar. They didn't know that you're supposed to use separate amps. The bass and the guitar went the same amp. Kevin played a drum set with paper. They didn't know drums. Yeah, it was a little kid set, but you know, they just went for it.
Even then, those songs are so catchy. That
oh, yeah. Surfing with the Shot. I still do that with my guys.
It's great.
Sex, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Sex is the last song. It's a cover. Don't hold me to it, but I think so.
That's Jesus.
Or is it the other one, Go Away Girl? Isn't there two songs? Well, actually, both songs are on one side. When you flip it over, it's all the... in the old days when you cut a record, that you would put tones so they could align the azimuth. So I think the back side is all the tones. 1K,
440. You're sure every tone.
Okay, so you were making like demos, little tapes.
Yep.
So it was a little while till you did recordings that were released.
I didn't put anything out until MySpace.
And
then I got into that Hiroshi stuff. Yeah.
In the middle of 2000s.
Yep. And
what do you call them?
I don't know, the aughts.
Aughts.
I mean, I never used that.
Shotgun.
Yeah. What the first decade? What do you call them?
Of what?
Of the century, the first decade.
The first decade.
Like those 2000s.
2000s, 1000s.
You just don't.
You said odds.
Wow. I've read it, but I've never said it. So, and I certainly don't use it in conversation. I have no idea.
Thousands.
Anyway, so
millennial.
No idea.
So okay. So that's when you started. So you just didn't do this conventional thing like make records or tapes or Just put it up on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then I started toying with band names, and I just come back, like I was saying, from Asia, and there was something so liberating about being Hiroshi. I think I was getting really into Cornelius, and
which is a band, Tokyo, a cat named Mr. Keiko. Like, he does everything himself.
Yeah.
I know people who are part of his tour band, but he's
Shimi and so they're not on the album.
No, he makes all the albums all by himself. Uh-huh. He can't tour that way. So
right.
He
okay.
Brings them to play the parts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. It. So similar to Black Moth, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Tom, that's
right.
What he does.
Right.
What about this Get Down? Am I on that?
You're not on that one. You're on
a different version.
Yeah, that's right. I have an instrumental version that you are on, which I didn't finish mixing. Okay. Sorry about that, man.
I actually play bass for some of his tunes
on two tracks.
Number
one,
having the title "Get Down," because that's what we're going to hear next.
Cool.
Can you tell us about this one?
So, just as Hiroshi, I thought I'm just gonna pop this Malcolm on there, and I didn't want to do it with my given name for whatever reason. I was hung up on whatever trip. But as Hiroshi, I just felt so free to be like, bang, that's what I feel like saying, and then just pop the Malcolm on there and it seemed to work.
And Get Down?
Get Down. Maybe it's inspired by the Curtis Mayfield title. Just seemed just cut right to the chase. Just let's make it happen. Let's do it.
Is this the one with the guitar man from up north?
No. that's also the one.
That was another tune I played on. Okay. Uh-huh. We're going to listen. This is Hiroshi with Get Down. Live for Pedro.
and spiral to the piece of me.
Chorchny Kajun, Dwistle Spaped O'Troblin, Snaply a Cool a Wisty Bishrate, Ovla Pana Groblum, Chee Fide Ma Shustin, Kibli Ibli Droof, Klebby Pie O Dustern Vry, Ap Chach Anin Taduth. Oh, Ma Volley Tuppy Ma Fuppy Trime, Chacha Neo Toog, Rabber Geeb Mahomedy Heim, Ast Takali Galoob, Chundra Fast Bolds and Toastra, Bigabaki Bigmas Tu, Poquestrum Un Dundrali, Matempo Ti A Tamatu, Ka Lepidi Dof De Rancho Blopes, Chala La 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 Li.
They ain't raised the rent since a Democrat was president. Last time they freed the roof from soggy leaves. Bills line the sills, customer or current resident. Rainwater shooting from the eaves. No one cut the lawn since the uncles and the kids are gone. Flew in last minute for the services. Came with only carry-ons 3 days, then left for home at dawn.
couldn't stand the dust and dirty dishes. How will you know you are mourning? Will tears cascade like rain? Will gray, gray clouds give warning? Will the weather bring your pain? Others wept. You stayed upstairs and overslept. Watched Johnny Carson as the wake went late. What does he do all day? Do you believe the way this place is kept? You hear them criticize and castigate. But they weren't here to witness birthdays, graduations missed. So many years since we gave a shit about that lawn and that long, long list of clinic shrinks and therapists. So long before her grave, she was gone. How will you know you are mourning? Will thunder make your plane? Will it first forebode? Then comes storming, low to precipitate.
After that, something from Petra Hayden's new album called, well, you know, she's doing, it's, actually there's somebody playing music with her, but most of it's a cappella of a movie theme. And this one was from, This Is Not America. Maybe it was Snowman, Falcon.
Yeah, she has a
that cat was actually from the Hill, right?
Yeah, PB Kid.
They were selling it to Soviets, some kind of a... Yeah, for Cho-Cho, right?
Yeah, somebody's dad or somebody worked at...
That's right.
Is that Falcon and the Snowman?
Yeah, I think that's the... Because what she's doing, I think last week I did Psycho or something. She made an album of all these theme songs to movies.
Yeah, her brother's has a great band.
Stay. Yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't been here for a while.
No, I'll come have her down. Then we heard Chris Coker doing a poem, Ode to Possibility, and finally Jeff Farina with Glory Tellers, and a song called So Long Before Her Grave. Sorry, Jeff. He had a band called Karate. He's from the East Coast, actually Boston. You people couldn't tell, but when we were hearing the music, and Bob was talking about this, what you call it, like a revelation?
Absolutely.
Revelatory experience?
Absolutely.
You wanted to write an Earth, Wind, and Fire song. You know, I saw them. They were the second band at the Cal Jam.
Was
They were after Rare Earth.
74? Wow.
Yeah, $6.50. We took the bus for $2 out to Ontario Racetrack. And they were the second band. And it was getting hot when they played. It was freezing. We went there the night before I almost died. Somebody told me it's 150 degrees at night in the desert. I was such a dumb fuck. I almost died. I conked out, and dudes, I woke up with just conch sacks all over me. They saved my life. Because, you know, I was right next to the fence, and they had just covered me with their fucking conch sacks. So I remember Rare Earth. Do you remember them? I think they were a Detroit band.
I just
want
to sell them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they had a dude, a dedicated cowbell. But there's another version of Get Down that I'm on and play bass. And we'll get to that a little bit more. But Marcy Sun's one of the first guys that brought on this new kind of era in my bass recording where you don't have to be in the room with the cat. They send you files over the internet and you play to them and then you send your bass file back.
So when did you start finally meet face to face after file sharing?
He came to some gigs.
Yeah.
He'd come see me play. You know.
So you guys knew each other cyberly though.
I knew him only through his music and I wanted to play it on my show. And he asked if I would collaborate. And we're at the end of the first hour of the April 23rd, 2013 edition. Wapapiva Show with guests are Roshan and Adam Bomb. Everybody hold tight. Hour two.
Sleeper and they're so ingrained in
April 23rd, 2013.
It's the second hour.
Wapapiva Show.
Thank you. sweating through this, thinking I mustn't dwell on the very thirsty notion of infancy. I may have already eaten too much. The wallpaper has parallelogrammatic frills. Stand in the center. It'll spin. Let her need to be warm fill you like a white plate of salt. Curl your orifice against this early spice. And if you have to get angry, do it with sneezes.
Crying! Jeepers! Violet! Toe stepper!
Thank you. surprise. Many things will come to pass. And the smoke shall rise again through the flames of love where it began.
Yeah, you jump on every opportunity to expand the musicianship, no doubt.
Papa Pedro Show.
Thank you,
Brother Matt. That's very kind of you. You started the second hour off with something from her son called Hillary Flight Suit. What was that?
That was during the primaries with Obama, and she was pulling out some race stuff that really just pissed me off. And then she got caught in this lie about having to land under fire.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to kind of just present her as being
out.
A yeah.
Yeah. She is action.
Okay. Good move. Then we heard Eric Kirkendall and Rich West doing Salty Dog. Tara Melos has a brand new album. We heard something from that new Chlorine, Sacktown band. I think they're starting a tour soon. So go see them if you can, people. Then something from the 60s. You ever hear of a band called Bubble Puppy? Found this tune, Hot Smoke and Sassafras. And after that, Repulsion, which was a short-lived band with Dave Markey, doing the theme to Sir Drone. Sir Drone was a movie that Raymond Pettibone did with me and Mike Kelly, a guy named Richie. Someone wanted to interview me about Richie. He's in a band called Acetone or something. Anyway, good memories of Richie and Mike Kelly both. After that was Bit by Bub by Maeve Mills. Maeve Mills is a cat I met on this tour in March in Sheffield, a town I'd never played before. He came down from Leeds. I had met him 20 years before here in Pedro.
Oh.
I played with a band called Chumbawamba.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Dose
played like
with them
the street.
That's right. And, after all these years, see him again. He's doing electronic. Don't do anything about it. He quit Chumbawamba, don't do bass, but he plays electronic and trumpet. So he's more, but he's still doing music. Very cool people. Somebody come out from the old days.
It's cool. I love the
accent. Yeah, I love it. And then finally something that, remember, you didn't, because it was a Man Alone show last time. But I couldn't remember the name of this album. The Paranoid Critical Revolution. Their new album's called Crimson Canvas, and this is the title tune. And another tune. It's really good. Reg was actually running the band when I did that Symphony No. 13 for Glenn Branca.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
John Myers conducted it. Glenn, of course, wrote it. But Reg was kind of running. She's, I think there were 64 guitar players, 20 basses, one drummer. I sat next to the drums. off air, people, we're talking about my collaborations with the horse's son here and him asking me aboard. This is like started a whole new era for me where people would just send the files and then I would play bass to it and send the files back. I've done tons of stuff that way now. And I got you to thank.
Oh, right on. Thank you.
That, you know, I thought his music was so interesting. He was so open about it. And, maybe it's like the same reason, you know, the dog licks the balls, you know, because he can. And, you know, we couldn't in the old days. You actually had to get in the room with the cat.
Yeah.
And so, it was the dawn of a new year for me. And now I've done all kinds of stuff, so I got you to thank.
Like cool. The Birth of Thunderpants, kind of, huh?
Yeah, it's the Birth of Thunderpants. That's what I call my little studio, my little thing.
Okay.
Now I got a good converter and some stuff to make me a little thicker and fatter.
Mm.
I was going right in the pewter in those days with you.
Okay.
So now, you know, I've learned some stuff, and we put together Casa Hanzo here with Pizzo. So that was a great thing that you did for me by getting me...
Fantastic.
See, one thing about being around a long time is you get used to certain ways getting done that way, and you think it's the only way, and that's silly. You never know it all. You've never been around too long. You're always... I think it's healthy to think that you're always here to learn new ways and things like this. And I got them grateful for you.
Yeah, cool.
I thought it was a trip. Carlos Cotarlo sent me an email the other day.
Well, he's on board.
Talked to him on the phone. He was there, like, oh, he's on YouTube. Well, I'll send you this. So
the whole new world for Carlos. Yeah, I thought he was going to come to the record store.
He didn't want to deal with buying a record early and coming late and hanging out or coming back or whatever the rules were. He were too much for him to deal with. So
he could have just came and saw the gig. It was the first time I played a second in 2 years. And we were buying it. It was a toy PA.
And Nick came out, huh? Nick Rock.
Big Nick played the Minuteman song. This ain't no picnic.
Cool.
So we got Second Man. We got Missing Man.
Yeah.
We got Pair of Pliers.
Yeah.
With my buddy Vince.
Yeah, Maroney.
Vince fucking rocks.
Last fall Vince we put out a 7-inch with him.
Okay.
It was from touring with Tom. So
he's in that. He just went to Taipei.
Did he?
Taipei, yeah. He's
Thomas Sherpas?
No. I think, don't hold me to that. I think the cat's name is Chris Owen. Something like that. He's just playing.
He's playing with Mario, I know that.
Sax and flute.
Wasn't he doing stuff with Mario Lally?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Fatso.
That's right.
He's a part of Fatso Jazz.
Right. But he's got his own thing called, with the W? Wongs? Wings? Wicks?
He's got the bop. Band Downbeats.
No, there's this band that's mostly his now. Actually, he was in another band too that I played with, that Liquid Kitty, that he didn't write any songs. It was Psychedelic Guys.
Oh man.
Kind of like 60s kind of.
What is that? See,
Alzheimer's makes interviews, got lots of pauses.
The name of the singer, Rory Borealis, was he playing drums?
This was drums, yeah. But you could tell they weren't his kind of songs. But he was helping them out. But he's busy, busy music.
Yeah.
He had a horrible bike rent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you know what? He's
come back.
He bounced back from that. Like, almost like superhuman. Like $6 million man.
Yeah, like collarbone.
He came back.
Collarbone.
Smashed collarbone. Horrible rent.
You know, because he lives in those hills in the Echo Park.
Yeah.
He is one talented dude, man.
Yes, yeah. He can blow a harp, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Hiroshi here. Have you thought about getting all your stuff together and making a vinyl?
I have, actually. Maybe we talk about that off the air.
Oh.
but I haven't been making music lately. I've just been drawing.
Okay. Yeah, I want to get to that.
Cool.
When we come talk to you again, because people out there, I was talking not just a... Music man, this guy's actually a painter and a drawer, too. Sort of like D-Bill.
Complete artist.
Yeah, Renaissance man. The Da Vinci of our days.
Thank you.
But right now, what I got the extreme great honor to do, which I usually do at this period, is bring Brother Matt aboard, but he's going to hand it off.
Yeah, I'm so stoked and thrilled to have Adam Baum here as my ringer for the day, doing a spin cycle master, because Adam Baum rocks in so many ways. He's been influenced in SoCal and L.A. for way over 30 years, and it's a treat to have him here. So here's my buddy, Adam Baum.
Thank you, sir.
So now it is my extreme pleasure to bless you with these great flavors, Zigzag Blunt Wraps, to welcome you here as a Spin Cycle Meister, and it's my pleasure for all of you to have the awesome Adam Baum.
Namaste. We'll be right back.
cercanía del viejo litoral. Allá por la cercanía del viejo litoral andaba Cuto Medina cantando su buen cantar. Andaba Cuto Medina cantándole a su soledad. Andaba sin rumbo fijo, andaba sin detenerse, marchando con paso firme, pitando una canción de suerte. Pensaba en su amada piel y en tiempos de añoranza trataba de recordar el rostro de su adorada. Andaba oyéndole a las sombras, corría detrás del sol. La noche era su enemiga, lloraba al caer el sol. Allá por la cercanía del viejo litoral, allá por la cercanía del viejo litoral, andaba Cuto Medina cantando su buen cantar. Andaba Cuto Medina cantándole a su soledad. Traté de explicarle a Cuto que el tiempo le había hecho mella. Él me miró con desprecio, continuó con su marcha eterna. En su mente una promesa: nunca olvidaré mi sueño, pero ¿cómo recordar el sueño de un viejo necio si soñar era lo bueno? De los que tienen ventaja, a él le queda el trabajo y la carga de esta patraña. Allá por la cercanía del viejo litoral, allá por la cercanía del viejo litoral, andaba Cuto Medina cantando su buen cantar. Andaba Cuto Medina cantándole a su soledad. El camino sin fatiga ni de la que le da el corazón. Y yo con esta canción le ofrezco toda mi estima. Anduvo detrás de un sueño, el sueño de los despiertos, el sueño que ofrece aliento al que anda por este atrecho. Cuidado con la zarza y la hormiga, no le dan tregua al caminante. No abandones tu camino por vereda que nunca pisto. Allá va Cuto Medina por el viejo litoral.
Zodiac sign is Scorpio. Come on. Dissolving in the doorway of a vacant building. Listen to the sounds the cars make, indifferent to what's going on. Dreaming.
in the good times. In the good times. In the good times. In the good times. In the good times.
Thank you so much for bringing some subbing for Brother Matt on the Skinny Cyclage. Bringing your own taste of things.
Right on.
Last thing there, as Joe buys it, you're actually taking Ralphie's place in Nickelodeon. Is that not right?
Yeah, that's this weekend, Friday, April 26th at Tex.
You know,
Sunset. You been to that place?
I've driven by a bunch of
Yeah, they got gigs, huh?
I've never been in there.
You always see the letters from like three blocks away.
Yeah, T-I-X.
You know what? I went there. Charlie, the Pixie singer, had a birthday party there. Or was that El Cid? Because there's another path.
They're close to each other,
huh? Yeah, that's further west. That's close.
That's where it was.
Yeah.
It was El Cid. So, no, but I've driven by it a bunch, and I know people played there. So, I'm a good look at there. Look, might not know about Kansas City and the culture that both you and Brother Matt come from. Why don't you dip into what those days were like? The station's still around, by the way, you know, and they still got, you know, they're young people, of course. Except Stella's still there, right?
Stella's still going strong.
In those days, we're talking when I started, this would be like 1983, 84, K-Rock, K-R-O-Q-F-M, was a real strong presence in the LA area in terms of even, you know, from anything what you'd call new wave and punk, you know, because you had Rodney.
Well, he started that with that Sunday show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, but then you also had guys on during the week that were kind of hip to all that stuff, that Jed the Fish and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So there was, for me, it was like... I'm always looking at myself in an underdog kind of position. It was like, all right, there's somebody to gun for. They're not playing. They're missing out on a whole entire spectrum of music that's happening just right here in the city of
those
L.A.
Those guys listened to us to see what they were going to play.
Yeah, and I still think
that's true. That's true.
They probably have played more ads than they did music.
Yeah, yeah. So,
actually, let me tell people that Loyola Marymount's a Jesuit school, so they didn't have to worry about ads. And in fact, what the culture was, each DJ had its own show, right? There was no playlist.
No playlist. There was some general guidelines, like there was a box of new releases. They say play one or two new releases an hour.
Once K-Rock plays it, you don't touch it anymore.
but other than that, free reign.
Yeah, so you were like in reaction to this K-Rock.
That was my initial... Yeah. Like motivation to get involved with that, because it was, you know, you're listening to the station every day, you're aware of all this music that's happening in your own town, in your own backyard, and that's being ignored.
Yeah.
And I said, there's got to be another way so this stuff can be heard. And I'm sure all the staff, all the people that were getting involved at the same time felt the same way. Right?
It's like a magic time. I remember those meetings. Everybody at the meeting was they were all into what they were into, but they were all totally different, totally individual, independent personalities.
Yet united.
Everyone was all in the same deal, and you're only limited by your imagination, basically, because we had 3,000 watts for this little team to work with, and if broadcasting was a sport, we would have owned the national championship for, like, several years.
And good example. Punchline, What Makes a Man Start Fires, those records have been out for a long time. You'd maybe hear a snip, lucky if Rodney played that. And at those days, I was a huge fan of Minutemen. I said, why is this not on the air during the day? And maybe, just for a little 10 minutes, 15 minutes, alternative spotlight, whatever you want to call it. But why is this not getting the recognition that it should get?
Oh, well, okay, so you would play that. They would let us come play on the show, on the air, live.
Yeah.
Tragedy.
This was more time at nighttime. It was later at night. What was his show called?
Brain Cookies.
That's it, Brain
Cookies. Yeah, I got the host. I got a picture hosting it one night when Fire Hose, one of the first Fire Hose.
And you know what? Even when I first started at KXLU, there was the upper echelon, the managers and the staff.
Yeah.
They were still sort of puppets of major labels.
And I
remember, and I'm not going to mention names, but I still have the names vividly in my head. I can say them right now, but I won't. And clashes, just clashes over simple stuff. Like, why'd you play that? Why'd you play this? I don't know, because
gets back to that dog.
It's happening. Yeah, it's a happening band. No one knows. People should be turned on to this. Well, we need to, maybe lean towards more of this. They're in the pockets of the major label.
Corporate bonds.
There was a definite transitionary period there.
So it's
glad you trained him right out.
And it was a great time, man. It was a great time seeing, Fishbone and Jane's Addiction on the same bill at Club Lingerie.
That's the thing, it's a bitching thing that you did, because you did a Final Countdown, which focused on hardcore tunes more than the daytime, just got the focus on hardcore. And you got a bunch of that stuff digitized now and available online, right?
That's right.
Listen to that shit.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where can people go to find?
Well, credit card just expired, so I got to renew on it. But
okay,
it's if you look on Final Countdown Classics, Podbean Podbean.com.
Podbean.com.
Yeah, weird ass name.
And the show is what, Classics?
Final Countdown Classics.
Final Countdown Classics.
Yeah.
People check that out.
So just
look right at the end of the second hour of the April 23rd, 2013 edition Wapa Pedro show. We got more from our guest Adam Baum. Of course, you signed on your art. We're going to get to next.
Right on.
We'll type Power 3.
Commitment, but it'd be great to have.
April 23rd, 2013. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
your show.
You got a 401k for her.
Hey, started the third hour off with one more thing for Roshi called Adaka. This is a remix of a Radiohead. They actually asked people to do remixes of the music. Wow. That's really, really nice of them. And stems, like they gave you parts, like raw parts of the two.
Yes, I wound up buying, you know, four singles instead of one, as did everyone else. But no complaints,
like
I was into it.
Is that like a toolbox thing they'll call a toolbox? Sometimes you get different parts of the track you can play and mix with yourself?
I don't know what it's called, but that's basically the concept, yeah. So I had,
that's neat.
Bass, vocals, et cetera, yeah.
Then we heard Papier Tigre with The Difficult Age. They're on tour right now, French Cats, young man. Playing for U.S. people. Go see them if you can. Then we heard The Father Figures with How to Succeed. And finally, Predrag Delubisic, Leaves Falling on Lisbon. He's out of Perth.
That's good and rusty boy down there.
I know. Actually, he flowed me a bunch of tunes in the day, so I got to get to that. Now, we've talked about your music and stuff, Roshan. What about your art? Because now I came onto that later. You sent me your works, some stuff. And, when did you start drawing and stuff?
So that was the first type of expression that I got into. Yeah.
Right.
I don't remember not drawing. So I always,
as a boy.
Yep. It's always been an outlet. And
why do you think? Somebody stuck something in your hand? You just went for it?
Basically, yeah. you know, it wasn't the most welcoming climate where I was living to express things directly,
with
my voice and stuff. So, you know, do it with a pen on a piece of paper. It was sort of ran into less trouble that way.
Yeah.
So, and
what was your first things? Drawing stuff you saw?
Yeah, drawing faces, drawing things that were happening at home. Nothing too morbid, but just chaos and whatever else. You
know. Right. Just great. Almost reaction.
Yeah, sure.
To the environment.
Right. And then I started getting into more...
No discipline, right? This is all you just going
totally, through. Yeah.
Then in school, did you get nurtured with this stuff?
No, I mean, I didn't really do well in art class. Not until I went to art school in my early 20s did I kind of get into that structure.
Where before that, gave you some tips on the techniques.
And I was able to respond to it in a way that was...
But by that time, you probably came up with techniques of your own.
Yep.
Yeah, so like kind of homegrown.
Uh-huh, sure.
So you're kind of glad you did that, maybe, before the other thing came out? I mean,
I guess so. I mean,
whatever path gets you to here is what happens.
Sure, exactly.
So, of course.
But yeah, I think so, because I continue to figure out my own way. You know, so I'm always kind of pushing myself and figuring things out and doing it through the back door.
No, I'm interested in this because, I mean, you have children yourself.
Yeah.
There's this nurture versus nature.
Sure.
Right? Argument. And probably people, when they have children, I want them to get the best education. I want them to get the best art teachers or whatever to help grow their own things. But then, like in your case, sort of my case too, where you actually learned on your own.
Right.
And you say there's something to that, positive, right? It wasn't all just stumble bum. In a way, you had no filter.
Right.
Nobody told you no wrong.
Right.
For example, let's say in the old days you drew with your left hand, they would slap it, right? They didn't want you using your left hand. Whoa. Can you imagine the cats who had to draw with the wrong hand just because the teacher said that? I mean, people don't do that anymore, but there was a time of that, right?
And it's still the equivalent of that, you know.
That's what I was getting on.
So, right, yeah.
Metaphorically, that goes on.
Sure.
There's the way.
Of course.
But there is a place for teachers, though.
Yep.
Right? And what happened was, after high school, you started going to art school.
Uh-huh.
And actually, these guys were not in the way. They were aiding and abetting
stuff
that you had already developed on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Because, like, for example, in music... You know, because I've had this thing since, you know, I had to learn, you know, from my friend and off records and stuff. There's this kind of fantasy thing in my mind about the kid who got to learn music as a little, as a tyke. And then I've actually talked to people. We've had them on the show, and they were taught real young. it made him hate music because it was such a negative experience. Mm-hmm. That maybe it was better if they did go learn on their own. So, yes.
I mean, I didn't like drawing for a while.
You can't generalize about this. It's just specific to personal cases.
Totally, yeah.
But the art school did help you.
Yeah, definitely.
But you think you were in a good place.
I mean, I'd already developed some stuff
on
my own.
That's what I'm saying. You were in a good place to handle what they showed you.
Right. But I learned a lot. It gave me some really good tools.
You're glad you did.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right, see?
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't a negative thing.
No, and it didn't hammer anything out of me or anything
and
like that.
And part of it was what? Well, probably good teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But also maybe your situation. That when you're really young, you're just a piece of clay, huh? Those kinds of experiences can be... Yeah, I could see how they make people want to hate and not even do it anymore.
Yeah. And I didn't want to do it for a long time.
Now, your family didn't draw?
They
did. Is there art in your family?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because I know the real old days before institutions, it was like family things, right? You learned your father was
a painter,
right. You became a painter. And, you know, I talked to musicians that way. Steve Droz, the guy in Flaming Lips, told me he was in his pop's band when he was 5 playing drums. 5, 6 years old. Yeah, playing drums at gigs.
So he,
well, I guess vaudeville was all about that. You'd work the family into the act.
Totally, yeah, sure.
And there's something endearing about that.
The Marx Brothers.
Marx Brothers, oh yeah. Buddy Rich, the drummer. Uh-huh. I think. Yeah. But Mickey Rooney, when you see those actors and actresses, a lot of them were coming out of those kind of situations too. So what did you do with the art school thing?
So, I
or,
started,
or your artistic endeavor.
Yeah. I was taking an illustration class, and I met... an art director from the New York Times one night, and he said, call me tomorrow. I'm going to give you a gig, and that was just it. So then I just kind of got me.
Wait, he saw your work?
Yeah. Okay. So he liked my work, and then I called him and did this gig for him, and then I just wanted more, and then I just began seeking those out, Village Voice and The Nation, et cetera.
Oh, so you still talk to New York City then?
Yeah.
You hadn't come out here yet.
Correct. Right.
Oh, okay.
So.
Wow. So what made you want to come out of here?
My now ex-wife and I were on the roof of our building, and we watched that plane hit the World Trade Center. And she was just like, let's go.
Yeah.
So we came out here and realized we didn't like each other, split up, and then we have kids, so we're both here.
But what about with your art?
Oh, everything is via internet these days, you know.
So it didn't matter you changed in town?
Didn't really matter so much, no.
Okay. Would you say there's a cultural difference?
Between L.A. and New York?
Yeah, as far as you doing your art?
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, one of the big things is driving versus walking, you know.
Right,
so.
That's a walking town.
Yep.
This is a driving town.
Yeah. So I spend a lot more time by myself here, which is good and bad.
In the chamber.
With yep.
The
yep.
Glass. So a lot of think time.
A lot of think time.
Maybe more due time back east.
Yeah.
Because, you don't have to travel far to get where you need.
Right. And there's more reading time back east, too. Now I'm sort of focused on the road.
Yeah, got it.
Before I could read on the subway or whatever.
Sure,
so can't do that anymore. So.
So that's the big difference is just the way you live.
Uh-huh.
That reading time is neat.
Yeah. But you can't really do that in a car
right.
so much.
Yeah. A lot of people are in the books on tape. Right. Books on tape culture.
Oh, yeah, the hearing thing, the audio.
Yeah, I've only got 2-3 blocks to go to work, so.
Well, the man's right up here.
Oh, right, yeah.
The same song and the radio is still going, so.
You know, I don't have any more Hiroshima music, but I got one more block of music. Here, there's a band here from Tokyo. They just put out a new album. They're called Buddy Girl and Mechanic.
Thank you. name's Alice Walker. They never told me why. I'm not named for anybody. It's just a name out of the sky they thought was pretty, I guess. Way back when, I'll change it someday. I like to pretend I'm just a visitor here, like on one of those shows, in a house full of people I don't hardly know, but we'll all get to go home in a week or so, back to real life. And I'm picking up the carpet in the corner where I crash. I'm too tired to separate the pennies from the trash. And I don't guess it matters even why Jesus died. I can tell you about sins. We got this duplex up on Fireline Road. It's way out from town, so the rent's pretty low. Not much more than a cinder block cell, just like the one next door. And the next one as well. And the bus don't run out here but three times a day. The 7-Eleven, it's a full mile away. And there's a car in the yard, mostly rust and dents. We moved here and it's but it hadn't run since. Forget my name, can you? Forget my face. Gonna lose myself. Daddy's quick picks scattered on the floor among the half-empty bottles. A chair against the door in case he comes home drinking. With loving on his mind, I never let it happen. But that don't stop him trying. My sister weren't so lucky. He got to her too soon. She never saw it coming. He knew just what to do to keep her silent. Swear to God I'll kill him if I can. Instead she made him do it. After all, he's just a man. Forget my name, can you? Forget my face. Gonna lose myself in some finer place. Finer place. She snorts that crank and stares at the phone. She ain't big as a minute, just skin on bone. She bites her nails right down to the quick. And they've taken her babies, and they won't give them back. And I know she loves them, and God knows she tries. But when you're that far down, you're just gonna get high. It's like eating or breathing to the rest of us. She can't even feel bad about the stuff. Forget my name, can you? Forget my face. Gonna lose myself in some finer place. Finer places where I'll go. And I'll leave no trace out on Fireline Road. My name is Alice Walker. They never told me why.
Watt Watt from Pedro Show. Last music we played for this edition here is, we started off Buddy Girl and Mechanic with a tune called Buddy My Cloud. And then we heard Last Call for Angels with Empty Hearts by Kings of Lower Town. Yeah, they're from Canada. And then one from Long Beach here. They're called the Crazy Women Drivers, and it's called Free of You. And then Tetsuo from Comply or Die. Shit, I can't remember where they're from. Sorry. And then Fireline Road by James McMurdy. I think he's from Texas. And then finally, these guys are from London. They're called Now. And a tune called With It. In fact, the bass player came and visited with her lady to see the sea lions.
Oh, man. That's all kind
of. Lots of little baby ones. The aggressive males are running them up, you know, because sea lions, right, one guy takes care of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of frustrated dudes. And then Pier 39 up in that's all them dudes. So they drive the mothers away, and they're these abandoned little pups. In fact, there's paddling. There's been a lot by the Angels Gate up there. And some mothers taking care of them, but the hospice is full.
Flooded, right.
There's like 40
they're setting
the
records.
Yeah, so now Manny says we shouldn't be interfering with that because it's overpopulated.
Yeah.
It's heartless.
It's like I like the people that work there because they're my neighbors at work and they do a great job and they work real hard to deal with the seals. But the seals, they're like these creatures and they're cute, so people love them.
Yeah.
But there's way too many of them, man. You ever have them jump up on your kayak?
No, not yet.
Man, have them jump up on
your kayak.
Yeah, and do paddleboard and get them jumping up there. Because there's so many of them. And they're
they
cute.
They check me out. Well, maybe that's what's
like
it. Maybe there's too many of them.
Big gangsters spy hopping.
Yeah, they check me out. But I've had, you know, I've been doing it now 13 years. I haven't yet had one jump on board.
I had one when I got too close to the buoy out there, the red buoy, PS-14.
Yeah, sure.
He came fucking like a missile across my bow, letting me know he thought of. And he was as big as me. He was like 250 to 300 pounds.
Do you have a big bump on the forehead as a man?
He was a big old stud.
Bull.
Okay.
They get tired. They like them buoys.
You're his
You know, it's hard for them to swim. They like those buoys.
I thought I gave him a wide berth, but he didn't think so.
I was just out. Fireboat 2 was out. We got the biggest fire tractor in the world. We had one, the Ralph J. Scott, 78 years.
Yeah, my dad worked on
that. Do you remember the San Zanino fire?
He was on that. Yeah, he was the first fireboat there. I got some rivets.
Well, he was at 77. In fact, you were around.
Some rivets probably within a couple moments.
You know what? He's probably out of the fireboat when it was on Terminal Island that burned down. The fireboat house burned down.
At that time, he's at that historic yellow one underneath the bridge.
Yeah, that's the one that burned down. They had to build the one on our side with a big brass roof. John Jure's pop did that. I saw John Jure. He moved about a block from me. He wrote before the Minutemen, there was a band called the Reactionaries. And he wrote a song. It was called Getting Existential on the Beach.
This was Martin on vocals. Right?
That's right. For a magic trick.
That's it. That's an action. There it is. That's Joe Vai's artwork.
Just pulled that sucker out like a magic trick.
So let's get back to your art. What do you want to do? Do you have a big work plan? Are you involved with the Proj?
Yeah, I've just been working on a bunch of personal images. I created a Tumblr with just a whole bunch of personal images.
Get the website.
Yeah, it's if you just look for my name on online, Rob Sussman, RobSussman, and then hit Tumblr.
Yeah.
You'll find it.
Use the Google.
Yeah.
And Tumblr. Tumblr is where you can just put a bunch of images.
Yep.
The Scrambler thing.
Yeah.
No E on it.
And as far as music, you got on a holding pattern right now?
Yeah, I've been laying low on the music front. So,
Adam Bob, you got a gig to do. You got your bass here.
Rocking out this weekend. Lots of gigs, man. Baiza.
So you're doing Prac with Joe Baiza now?
Actually, tonight is Prac with Ramirez.
Oh.
John Ramirez.
Yeah, sure.
His band, Masters of Everything.
Yeah. Okay.
We got to get Adam Bomb back for another session.
Go through your music journey.
Also, got it formed by Bob Lee. I'm going to be in part of his Jesus Christ Superstar
production. Oh, Bob Lee.
I don't know if you heard about that.
You're going to be the what?
Caiaphas. Caiaphas. High priest.
In Gilead was Jesus right on
that's
the record.
That's right. Yeah, and Murray Head.
He wasn't in the live thing, though. No. He was doing Deep Purple.
There's two.
Yeah.
But that's.
Weber, somebody told me Weber, billionaire because of that crap. And cats.
I wouldn't doubt it. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. No, that guy's living large. Living large. Cats alone.
Yeah.
Cats alone. Well, you know.
I'm not ashamed to say that I never saw it.
Yeah, I don't know. I figure it's about cats, but that's about all I know.
Years of Pantages. Pantages of Hollywood.
It was a buffalo.
Years. Jeez. Yeah.
Well, we got the same dude that built the Pantages made the Warners here in Pedro.
That's right. It was the last of the chain.
And the new Jammy Cotto premiere.
That's right. Somebody else was talking to me about
saw
that.
The Exorcist the week it came out.
73.
I did saw that.
At my school today, I did an orientation with a new student and a parent. And I got D. Boone's picture up on the wall in my office all the time. I got number 42 on my wall all the time, just for a couple of heroes. And the mother, she worked at the Warners, because I was talking about how we do our graduations down there. And she said, oh, I worked there a long time. I worked there when the Minutemen had their opening of We Jam Econo. I said, well, there's Dee Boone right there. So I thought that was kind of cool, having a parent that was cool enough to be hip enough to.
Great night.
Those are the kinds of students I'm getting now in my school.
Well, Matt, so good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's been too long.
First time. Well, thank you for coming aboard. Good luck with the art.
Great to meet you.
Thanks so much. Likewise.
And a bomb thing to bring back. Right, fucking
all right.
Thank you, Watt.
You know?
Yeah. Hey, bomb.
Thank you, my man. Yes. Brother Matt.
Speedboat's been the April 23rd, 2013 edition of Watt for Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.